Welcome to the Chocolate Cake Bites podcast. This is a podcast where we will discuss the sweet nuggets of goodness that come from living the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm your host, Ken Williams. The opinions, attitudes, thoughts, and ideas that we discuss are those of the hosts and guests and are not necessarily a reflection of the actual doctrines of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Thanks for listening and enjoy this week's conversation.
And if I did it right, we're live. Oh, technology is super fun. And so I have, if you're watching, well, I guess I should back up a little bit. There is a chance. right now, the chance is about 50%. There's a chance that I will dual publish this on YouTube, maybe Facebook, maybe who knows what. I don't know. I haven't decided yet. But published on video, a video version, and the audio, the regular audio version. If you are watching this, then you'll know that I published it on video. If you're not watching it, you may never know, and that's okay with me. I'm trying something new. And so we have, if you are watching us on the screen, and the reason we did this is because Annette has some great facial expressions.
This is so embarrassing.
That we miss out on so many times because she's just not. There you go. That is the intro. As I have said before, one of my favorite things is when I come across something, I will reach out to Annette and I'll say, tell me your thoughts on this. And then sometimes she reaches out to me and says, tell me your thoughts on this. And sometimes I respond by saying, okay, you ready to record a podcast about it? And so that's what's happening today. We still owe anybody who's still following us a episode 3.5 or whatever we're at, where we talk about the master pivoter. So yeah, that's coming. But what caught my attention today was a thought that came from an Instagram reel, I think it was, that you sent me, that we believe. Now, this is where we get into cultural versus doctrine. We believe in personal revelation. But I think the question was raised, do we really believe in personal revelation, or do we just believe in personal confirmation? So share your definitions of personal confirmation.
Share my own personal definition?
Sure. How would you define that? If I were to say we believe in personal revelation, and you would say, actually, no, we don't. We believe in personal confirmation. How would you define that?
I would define personal confirmation as like somebody had an experience or somebody said something, or maybe there's some sort of doctrine or policy that I'm struggling with. I pray about it and I get a good feeling about it that that's true. And I thought that would be personal confirmation to me.
I think I would probably agree with that. Who knows? As we continue, I may.
We'll change my mind. I reserve it. Right.
That's right. I'm still waiting for the podcast conversation where you change your mind mid podcast.
I can see it coming. I feel it. It might be right now.
So how's that different in your mind than personal revelation?
Well, I have always thought, I'm not going to say always, most recently in my goldfish memory, thought of personal revelation as me finding out, seeking, I'm going through that process to find out what God either wants for me in that time, or like how I personally should proceed in a situation where maybe I'm not really sure what to do. It's one of those major crossroads, or I'm not sure how to, you know, what do I do with this? Okay. And then I go through that process of prayer and meditation, whatever that looks like for me or for you. And I receive an answer, and it may or may not be in line with what's in the general membership, general guidance of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Okay.
Now, but I did Google it because I knew you were going to ask this. And the first hit was from the church's website. And I'm just going to read the little excerpt because I didn't go in to read the rest of it. And I don't really care what it says.
Okay.
Personal revelation is the way we know for ourselves the most important truths of our existence. It says other stuff too.
Okay.
Which felt to me like personal confirmation.
Yeah.
But then I went into like the gospel, what is that? The fancy schmancy place where you can like look up all the words.
That would be a dictionary.
Where am I at? Hold on. In the gospel study guide.
Okay.
And there it the definition of revelation was more what I had initially said I thought it was the first time. So okay. I was like, okay. So then there's confirmation bias. I was right.
All right, I can go with that. I can go with that. So, I'm wondering, as a member of the church,
mm-hmm.
where does personal revelation fit?
That's a great question.
So, I have a thought. I have a question that I was talking to Marcin earlier, and I asked her a question. I'm not going to ask it yet because I don't want to yet, but we'll get there.
Okay. You're going to give me a heads up?
No, we'll just roll with it.
All right.
But, okay, so this came from a person who, Jeff, you've followed him more than I have. I've seen some of his stuff. If you want to just give
some. The reel that I sent you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Am I allowed to say Jeff Anderson
of
Stonecatchers?
Yeah. He's an active member of the church.
Yes.
Depending on who you ask, he may fall in the more controversial side because some of his beliefs and some of his approaches. I can see how there are people who would bristle when he I have something to say about that.
Yeah, well, and he says something that I've heard coined on the At Last She Said a podcast, and we don't believe our own stuff, and I think that applies to a lot of things that we teach or mm-hmm. believe. I'm not even going to air quote believe that we believe them, but we don't actually believe them.
Okay, so I agree with you. But
especially when we're going like outside of the norms or outside of other people's or our own comfort zones.
Right.
You know, and so, but then I think whenever I start feeling a little bit uncomfortable in that space, I think to the record that we have of Christ's life, and he was constantly breaking boundaries and going outside the norm. And
so breaking boundaries, I would not say breaking boundaries.
It was a little bit, maybe. Especially when he treated women.
He was, but that's not a boundary. That's maybe a barrier. Maybe that's
it's a boundary for some, you know, maybe not for you.
Okay. So we're going to get into boundaries right now. We're not, but
I looked up the definition. I'm just kidding.
Cause I knew you were going to bring it up. No, a boundary is a line in the sand that you're not going to let people cross. So to protect you or in some cases, to protect other people. It's not a way to control people. And a lot of times we think of boundaries as a way to control people. I have a boundary that you're not going to make me do these things. No, that's not what a boundary is. But are you the one who sent me the thing about the come follow me for this week?
Probably not.
Oh, then I got to look at it because it was amazing. Maybe it was for last week.
I wish I could take credit for that.
Sure, take credit for it. It was great.
Okay, yeah, it was great.
Now, as I'm trying to think about where did I see this, I'm realizing more and more that I'm a technology. It was you.
Oh, see, look at that.
Catherine's Come Follow Me thoughts on Instagram. Maybe we should offer Laman and Lemuel more grace when we accuse them of lacking faith. And I want to share some thoughts that I had yesterday as we were sitting in Sunday school. Maybe like Lehi, those we are judging for leaving the covenant path are following guidance from God that might not make sense to us, but is leading them where God needs them to be. So that's the image. Then there's the caption that says, the more I study about Lehi and his family, the more I realize how radical he really was. He took his family away from the temple and center of their religious practices in order to follow the path God was commanding him to follow. And I think about this, and I'll continue, but I think about this in the context of how we traditionally, culturally think about personal revelation. His vision prominently featured a tree, a symbol which to many pointed to Asherah, not Yahweh. And I don't know what that is. Do you know what that is?
Asherah was Yahweh, I think, is another name for the God that who were we talking about? Lehi worshipped. Mm-hmm. Asherah was the female counterpart, okay. And the tree is if you talk to like theologians and scholars of the Bible, say that the tree, like the tree of life, mm-hmm. Was Asherah's symbol.
Okay, right, so, right.
Of a female deity, yeah.
I remember hearing that. Even the story of Nephi's broken bow illustrates another time when God's instructions led Lehi to ask his family to deviate from the religious teachings of the time. By hunting the animals, they were not following the religiously prescribed method of slaughtering in preparation of eating. Is it any wonder that Laman and Lemuel seemed so rebellious towards what Lehi asked of them? They were told that they would be ruled over by a man who beheaded someone in what possibly seemed to them to be cold-blooded murder. They were asked to leave the center of their religious practices and journey into the wilderness. Their father's vision may have implied to them that the fruit that represented the greatest of promised blessings would come from a God that they had been taught should not be worshipped. They were asked to partake of food that had not been prepared according to their strict religious practices, because they were under the law of Moses at the time. Mm-hmm. I can only imagine how we as members would respond to someone who suggested we should go into the wilderness where we couldn't worship as we had been taught, believe teachings that pointed to an idolic God that we were told not to worship, and partake of food that violated the word of wisdom. Maybe we should offer Laman and Lemuel more grace when we accuse them of lacking faith. I think under similar circumstances, many of us would have been more like Laman and Lemuel than Nephi. Maybe, like Lehi, those we are judging for leaving the covenant path, in quotes, are following guidance from God that might not make sense to us, but is leading them to where God needs them to be. So I like that for a couple of reasons. Number one, so the question that I was talking to Marcin about was, let's take the idea of staying on, following the covenant path. Let's just take that off the table. Let's just say that that's not a... I want to be careful how I say it, because I'm not suggesting that it's not important, but, right. But I'll make my point by asking some questions. So right. when the earth is cleansed, what role, leading up to the millennium, what role does membership in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, or any specific religion, what role does that play in whether or not you are exempt from the cleansing, or you're a victim of the cleansing?
You're putting me off that. I don't know.
And I want an all or nothing answer.
Okay, so how important is our membership?
No. I'm not asking how important. I'm saying what role does it play?
What role does it play?
Right. And I'm not talking about behavior. I'm not talking about necessarily belief. I'm talking about the only thing that I'm now Marcin's calling me. She likes to call when it's, I can bring her on. This is the only way she'd get on the podcast.
That's true. What was that you were asking? We were talking about earlier, Andy?
No, don't say those words on when we're recording. So I'm talking only about the letter of the law. I'm not talking spirit of the law. I'm not talking anything else. I'm talking about, your name is on the church records or it's not. What role does that play in,
on
where you live?
if I'm understanding what you're asking, I'm going to say nothing.
Okay. That's the answer I'm looking for.
Okay.
And I don't know that the answer is necessarily nothing, but I think that it is not a determining factor. Oh, wait. We can't, you can't be destroyed because when you were 8, you were baptized, and it doesn't matter that you haven't done anything since. So I think that there are some very good people who won't at the time be members of any specific religious organization that will be considered righteous. See, now I... and there may be some people who are maybe on the covenant path who are not, whose behavior, whose beliefs or whose attitudes or whose mindset or whatever it is, aren't consistent with what needs to be, what it needs to be for them to be considered righteous. So and so when I say let's take the covenant path, let's take that off the table. What I mean is that dichotomy, you're on or you're off, is not the determining factor for anything. There are a lot of things that play into whether somebody's considered righteous or not righteous. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. So the question then... I'm going to get myself in trouble, I'm sure, one of these days.
I love it. I'm here for that.
But the question is, and I love this idea of the judgment that we sometimes place on people like Laman and Lemuel. Mm-hmm. If somebody has a, we'll just call it personal revelation, regardless okay. of, or irregardless, I have to use that word at least once, irregardless of what it is, we'll call it personal revelation. If your personal revelation is inconsistent with what I believe, what does that mean about your personal revelation?
So if my personal revelation is inconsistent with what you believe,
right.
What does it mean about mine? It means nothing. It's totally unrelated.
Well, we're not going to have a good argument if you're going to agree with everything.
Sorry, I thought you were looking for confirmation and not an argument.
No, that's what I expected to hear.
No, like, first of all, when I saw that post and I sent it to you, I actually was like a little bit, I am so happy to hear somebody else saying this good thing about Laman and Lemuel, because for many, many years, I have said publicly, I've said over the pulpit in talks, I've said it in firesides, Laman and Lemuel kind of got the short end of the stick.
Right.
You know,
the storytelling.
Them, and they did the thing though.
Yeah.
Right. Like, they complained about it. And I was like, I relate to them because I too will complain.
We all complain.
I'll do it eventually, but I'm going to drag my feet and kick and scream and complain a little bit, especially when it's uncomfortable.
Right.
And I think that this poster made a fantastic point of what was being asked of them was incredibly uncomfortable, not just because they were leaving their wealth and their comfort,
right.
Which let's be honest, if we deep reflected, all of us would bristle a little bit at being asked to give all of our excess
right.
to somebody else that we maybe didn't trust on how they were going to disperse our excess,
right.
You know?
That's true.
And so I do like, I really like Laman and Lemuel. I feel like they get a bad rap as we talk about them. And I loved those things that she pointed out that I hadn't necessarily thought of before, of everything that they believed was actually being challenged and how yes. difficult that is. They right. also didn't have Nephi's experience. And some would argue, well, they could have, but they didn't ask. Well, we don't actually know if they asked or not. We don't have any information.
Right.
I do know that I do not get every single thing I ask of God. So it's plausible that they did right. ask and were not given that gift. It's possible.
Yeah.
So
there was a comment yesterday in Sunday school that somebody said, why does it seem that Nephi didn't have any problems? Everything worked out for Nephi. And I did not want to make yesterday the kin show in Sunday school. So I did not make a lot of comments that I wanted to make. But number one, it seems a lot like everything worked out for Nephi because we're hearing Nephi's story.
Right.
And we're hearing his story from the end of the story. We're not hearing the middle of the messy middle is what I like to call it. We're not hearing that part. We're not hearing him as he's trying to figure out, how do I build a boat?
Are you kidding me? I've literally done everything that you said to do, and now I'm tied to the mast of this boat that I didn't even know how to make, and nobody helped me.
Or even go back when they're told they're going to the promised land, and they arrive at Bountiful, and it had to have been mangoes and just delicious fruits like that. Right. That they were, that tasted delicious. That was for your benefit. And then they're told to leave that, pack up and go. Wait, what? And so I love, and we didn't get into this as much as I would have loved to dig into it. So maybe that's where we're going to dig into. Maybe, who knows? We'll see where this goes. But the thing that was interesting to me is that series of events is what immediately precedes Nephi instructing us or teaching us that we should liken the scriptures to ourselves, or at least that he likened the scriptures unto himself. And so the thought that I had with that is that I've been really good at taking a verse. I will go and do the things which the Lord has commanded. So I will take that verse and liken it to myself. So I, therefore, Ken, will go and do whatever the Lord commands, as long as I understand it as a command and I think it makes sense, and I will ask, and I just know he's going to prepare a way, even though it seems really hard.
And it's aligned with my beliefs.
Right. It has to be aligned with my beliefs. And so it's heavily filtered, but I'm decent at taking a verse and applying it to myself. What hit me yesterday is, what if we took a story? And the story that we were talking about at the time was building the ship. Nephi's building a ship. And what if I likened that story to myself? And not just, okay, which player would I be in this story? But what in my life right now is like Nephi building a ship?
Ooh, that's a good question.
So if I think about what is going on in my life right now, this like Nephi building a ship, I can think of a couple things. Mm-hmm. So, and I'm trying to decide how much I want to share because I don't know who all listens and I don't want to have to explain some things after the fact. But so here's a person who's Nephi is being asked to do something that he has no experience doing. No experience. There's not a YouTube video that says in 32 minutes, here's how you build a ship. Here's how you find the ore. Here's how you take the skins to make the bellows. There's none of that. And so, of course, his family is going to look at him like he's crazy. But again, from Nephi's perspective, he's seen the plans. He knows how it's supposed to come together. Okay, so now if I take this to my situation, is there anything in my life where I felt like I should take a leap into the uncomfortable unknown? And yeah, there are a couple of things where I feel like I'm not ready for this. And so then the question for me is, okay, how do I apply this? How do I make this story real for me? And maybe it's, okay, so when this happened, that's kind of like how this worked out for Nephi. And then, because I don't think he had the end of the, I don't think he had all the plans in front of him when he started.
I think that's a safe assumption.
I think he probably was told, okay, you need to build a frame. Here's how you build a frame. Well, how am I going to, you don't need to worry about that yet. You just need the frame. And maybe even before that, in order to work the timbers, you're going to need tools. So, well, how do I work the timbers? You don't need to worry about that yet. You just need to figure out how to cut down a tree. Well, where are the trees? You don't have to worry about that yet. You just have to worry about building a tool so you can cut down a tree. And I think a lot of times, okay, I'm not going to say we, I'm going to say I. A lot of times, most of the time, I am waiting to see the finished blueprints before I start looking for the ore. And so the way I'm applying that to my life today on, we'll reveal how early we record some of these sometimes. February 5th, 2024. Mm-hmm. How I'm applying that to me is, oh, I don't have to feel bad that I don't know the end steps. I can feel comfortable that this is standard practice with God. He doesn't, I think about the Indiana Jones, I think it was the
I actually
one.
Have a note that I had made exactly.
Continue. I will let you explain that.
I'm assuming you're talking about in the movie where he does that leap of faith.
Yeah.
Right? Where he's got to step out. He deciphers the clues and has got to step out into what seems like nothing. Mm-hmm. Doesn't make sense to anybody.
Right.
And does.
His mother was probably behind him saying, don't do that, Indiana. That is stupid. That is ridiculous. I'm not saying
there's
that,
nothing here.
I'm not saying that mothers do this. I'm just saying that's a lot of times there's that protective inner right. voice that don't do that. And then you have this. It's fascinating when you're acting on, we'll call it personal revelation, because that's kind of what we started out talking about. You're acting on personal revelation and it doesn't make sense to anybody else.
It might not even make sense to you or me at the time.
And probably doesn't in many cases.
I do not. Okay. All right. You know.
Why am I building this ship? We have mangoes.
I don't know that right I've here. Ever thought about equating it to building a ship, but I think I'm going to start doing that because I like that it adds a little brevity to what usually for me is a very hard or uncomfortable situation that I'm sometimes trying to make sense of, you know, not why am I having to go through this, but like, I do not understand this scenario or this situation or, you know, and be like, okay, I don't have to know how to, you know, build a ship. I just gotta make a tool.
So to kind of circle back to personal revelation, we have language in the church a lot of times that we rely on. There's the burning of the bosom, and the opposite of that is stupor of thought.
Super.
So if you, and I think sometimes, I think it's incomplete. I'm not going to say it's wrong, but I think it's incomplete to assume that everything is going to land with either a burning in the bosom or a stupor of thought. We're going to have a couple callbacks to previous episodes because I think it's really interesting how this is, at least in my mind, this is all kind of coming together.
Yeah.
And so my thought from a few weeks ago about how an expectation of God might be that he won't allow me to make a mistake. And I've amended that. I've been called on the carpet by a couple people. Thanks, Chris. That if I have to explain semantics, then maybe I need to come up with a better word. And I said, okay, Chris, come up with a better word. And he couldn't do it, which cracked me up. So Chris, you're going to be on the podcast one of these days, and I'll challenge you.
I just want to say Chris has never publicly called me out. So,
here's what I imagine is, God won't take away our agency. But I think there's a way that he can make it very clear to us if we're not acting towards something that will benefit us. So as an example, I have rarely, if ever, shared the story. Many, many years ago, I was the young men's president and had some young men. I had two priests that I was working with, and both of them had different struggles that they were going through. And I thought the best thing I can do with them is get them in the scriptures. And I thought the easiest thing to do is we'll just read the Book of Mormon every day. And the most convenient day to do that would be every day. And so I know that they're both at seminary. So I'll just talk to the seminary teacher. What do you think about it? I'll pull them out. And we're just going to read every day for however long it takes. And it sounded like such a great idea until I said it to somebody. And I can't remember who I said it to. It was the seminary teacher or somebody. And I said, what do you think about this idea? And as soon as I said it, I thought, wrong idea, wrong idea. And the only way I can describe it is it was a stupor. It was not a good idea. And I ignored it. And so I went to the bishop and I said, what do you think about this? And as I said it, I had that same thing. Nope, 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 nope. Wrong idea. And he said, I'm not sure how I feel about that. Why don't you go to the high counselor over seminary? And I thought, nope, don't need to, because I know it's the wrong idea. And it wasn't a bad thing. It was just the wrong idea. Mm-hmm. And so I think a lot of times if we get personal revelation, I'll put it in air quotes this time, personal revelation that truly is going to take us along the wrong path, I think I'm gonna go out on a limb and say I believe that there will be things that make it more difficult. And what I mean by that is the truly wrong path that makes your ultimate salvation impossible. And I'm not suggesting that my idea to read the Book of Mormon with a couple of 16-year-old kids was going to make their salvation impossible. But God has access to a lot of things, a lot of people who want to act on promptings of the Spirit. And I personally have had experiences where I've acted and have found out later on how important, how significant that was. So I think there are a lot of ways without taking away agency, he can make things harder for us to mess up. Okay, so I talked a lot. Tell me your thoughts.
As I
have a sip.
Ooh, what is that?
It's lemonade from Panera. I have in the Sips Club.
Ooh, I didn't even know they had a Sips Club.
You're missing out. This is brought to you by Panera.
We're getting sponsored now? Sweet.
I should reach out to them. I showed a cup on my podcast. Is that worth anything? Yeah, we'll let you have a sip.
Thanks. And back to the show. No.
That's right. Oh, by the way, I've got to say that Justin has been upset.
No.
So I don't know if that came
through. Justin, are you upset that Ken hasn't used your button?
No.
Okay.
That's better.
Stop complaining.
So that's for you, Justin.
No, okay. I when I saw that post that Jeff made and then I shared it with you, I laughed when your question came in because I've been thinking about this a lot, right? Mm-hmm. Like personal revelation and sometimes what we're told to do or get confirmation of the choice is outside of the mainstream of what's being taught to the general teaching to the general membership. Now, right. I actually really love the term general because it's explanatory of this is in general, which when we even use that phrase in general, we're little asterisk saying not for everyone.
Right. Not specific. Right?
The majority, this applies to the majority, but doesn't apply to everybody.
Right.
And right. I think as somebody who currently is in the asterisk category of, you know, some of this stuff doesn't apply. Like, I feel like I can speak to that in confidence in saying there are things that sometimes are taught or said or that do not apply to me. And that's, I wish they applied, right? Like, it's not because I'm like happily living on the edge of the fringe, right? Like,
I'm happily on the fringe.
I'm a fringer. And so, but I love being able to, in my own mind, make that distinction between when I'm struggling with something. Is this, what am I looking for here? Am I looking for a confirmation of something that I already know? Or am I looking for revelation, which would be to reveal something that maybe I don't know of how to proceed? And so I love that he's bringing light to this question, you know, for anybody who saw his, you know, reel and read his caption and listened to what he had talked about. when I think of, and when I think about like things that we learn of Christ, the woman taken in adultery, I really love the story. I love so many things about what is said and what's not said, and so many questions and things that it gives me to think about. But protocol per the church at the time was death.
Yeah. Stone them.
She violated the law. And so I think it's beautiful that Christ, the example here is, yeah, I don't really care. This is me. I'm sure maybe he didn't think
that. It's not the red type in the Bible.
Right? I love that the example of the person is more important than the protocol or the policy or the law. And for me, that gives me permission that to accept personal revelation that may take me out of protocol or out of the norm, right? Like we don't necessarily give that to ourselves very well, because of course that's not going to be given to general policy or general membership.
I came across a letter the other day, and I'm going to leave the context out because just to maintain privacy, but there was a phrase in there. This is a letter written to a family member, but not to a, I'm not the author of it. It was not written to a child or a, it was written to a, to somebody that was outside of the stewardship of the individual who wrote the letter. And there, one of the comments was, I feel that it is time for you to, and then they continued with what they felt it was time for you to do. And I think that the first time I read that, I thought, well, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And then I thought about it and I thought, wait a second, this individual has no stewardship to feel. And you can feel anything you want to feel. And it gets a little bit tricky because then we have to interpret what that feeling means. But you can feel that it's time for somebody to take some kind of action, but you can't feel that that's revelation for that person. You can believe
it. Well, you can't think that. You just might not be right, right?
Like, and that's because that's not.
The author obviously did think that they had the, you know, that it was within their purview or their right to, but, you know, sorry, I digress.
So, but I think about the cultural, I'm at a loss for words. I'm trying to think of this would be the sign how widespread culturally this type of mindset is that I feel it's time for you to, like for me to go up to a young man in the ward, maybe to say, I feel it's time for you to prepare for a mission. No, that's not anything that I have a right to feel when it comes down to personal revelation. I don't have the stewardship or the authority to do that. I have some feelings about that anyways, about how horribly wrong that has gone for people that I know in the past.
Right.
And when I say horribly wrong, I mean, it backfires. The intent to get somebody on a mission by encouraging it has backfired and the person completely withdrew. But so when we get to personal revelation, a lot of times we forget about the fact that I get personal revelation for me. Mm-hmm. I don't get personal revelation for you. I don't get personal revelation for mom. Mom, I feel it's time for you to start dating again. Mom, I don't, that's not what I'm saying.
Well, that's not what he's saying.
And that expression was amazing for that. No, that's, I don't have any right to receive that direction. But I think that if one of my kids, for example, came and said, so Allison and Justin, married for coming up on 10 years, if they came to me and said, we have received personal revelation that we are not to have children. Cool. Awesome. I don't have the right to say it's time. It's been long enough. Come on, guys. And so there's my rant on personal revelation versus personal confirmation. And so if they came to me and told me something that was not consistent with what I believed,
right,
then maybe just like I would in general conference or in state conference, I could then take that to the Lord and maybe I would get an answer that, yes, this is, I'll give you the personal confirmation that what you heard is, it's going to be fine.
Right. And I think that's tricky. Like I'm going to go into a gray area right now.
I love it.
It's tricky for women in a patriarchal organization. And I just used a trigger word for some people, sorry, the P word. Sorry, you might have to put a trigger warning on this podcast.
I'm sure that's coming up soon.
Because there, it's a gray, sticky, yucky area.
Yeah.
For women, and I'm making a generalization there based on being a female and having conversations with men that have never felt tricky about claiming personal revelation as a female, mm-hmm. and versus other women who have. And I also understand that everybody has a different experience in right. the church, right? Like even siblings in the same family or mm-hmm. People who sat together, you know, in the same congregation for years and years, ingesting the same material may have had different experiences.
Yeah, I agree.
Taken away from that. But, you know, like you said, you know, hearing something from the pulpit, hearing from General Conference, I think it was last April conference, one of the speakers talked about like attending church, like, you shouldn't be praying saying like, church is boring. I don't want to go to church. Can't I just worship in the woods or in the mountains or at the ocean or something like that? And the answer is no, you know? And I really struggled, man. I really had a hard time with that talk. That really bothered me. And that was partly, well, that was 100% because of my current health situation.
Right.
And the after effects and symptoms of living with a traumatic acquired brain injury, a traumatically acquired brain injury. We'll call it that. And so, you know, I talked with Barry about it a lot and he said, I think this is, first of all, I think what he's saying is not what you're experiencing. You're not saying I'm bored. I don't want to go to church.
Right.
That's not your circumstance. And so he's not talking to you.
Right.
Right. And so then I was able to take that to the Lord in a more personal situation. Hey, you know, God, you know what's going on better than I can even explain it. Cause right. I also have word problems sometimes and can't say them right. And so, you know, what is for me, you know, where should I go with that? And I have a plan mm-hmm. and I feel really good about my plan that doesn't involve usually attending traditional church meetings on Sunday and in person, right? Mm-hmm. Not attending, but in person.
Right.
There was a lot of good things that came out of COVID
right.
And other people looking in on that often speak to maybe I'm being lazy. Maybe like, how hard is it to put on a pair of shoes and just get yourself to church? And right. I'm like, well, sometimes I can't safely drive. So it's actually pretty hard.
Right. And then you have situations where I have family members who have, and you, I think do too, but, family members who have suffered from, depression in various, degrees and telling them, I think a week or two ago, you called it the invisible, injury or the invisible handicap, something like that. And yep. So to tell a depressed person, oh, how hard is it? All you got to do is get your shoes on, go outside. It's not that bad. It's not that hard. And for somebody who's going through that, yeah, it is. It is that bad. It is that hard. And so I think the question just crossed my mind. What is it that I hope to accomplish with this episode? And I think what I hope to accomplish is just a change in a change in semantics that I think we need to be better at distinguishing between personal confirmation and personal revelation. And if you received personal revelation, it's not my place to say, no, you didn't.
So the other day, I almost texted you, but then I should have thought, I should just Marco him or something. I'm too tired to type all these letters. I was
typing
on a walk.
Is hard.
It was. I needed, and you know, voice to text does not work well with me. It usually ends up saying completely nonsensical or inappropriate things.
Oh, that's the best.
I was on a walk, and there was a kid who was walking towards me. So I was on the path. There was a kid walking this way, and he had a dog. He was walking a dog, and he was far enough away that I couldn't tell initially if it was a kid or an adult. He was kind of weaving through the road. He was in the road. I was on the path. And I just watched him for a while. And, you know, as we got closer, I was like, oh, he's a kid. He looked like he's maybe like 11 or 12. And as he passed me, I thought, this is interesting. I'm having these weird thoughts, and I don't even know now if I'm going to be able to put it together in a clear way. But I'm on this path, and I've been there already as his parents. Like, I live in this neighborhood. There's children in this neighborhood. I don't have any children living at home. I've done that. Like, I've completed that part. And I could speak to how other people raise their children, but I don't know where they are on the path, right? We're all on the path of, in my neighborhood, raising children. Mm-hmm. Whether we are at the very beginning where we have small children, or we're in the middle, we have teenagers, or we're at the end and they're not living at home, and we're navigating what that looks like. And I don't really have a place to speak to where they are and what they're experiencing. And then my mind kind of just shifted to things of a more spiritual nature of, there's so many different places, like, we're all scattered. We're like on the same, in the same forest. I don't even want to say we're on the same path. We're in the same forest, mm-hmm. going from point A to point B. And there's lots of different ways to get there. There's shorter paths, there's longer paths, there's more scenic paths. And who am I to say you're not doing it right because you didn't take the exact same path that I took? Right. And I'm glad that I took the path that I took. It was a little windier than other people's paths. You know, like Barry and I have talked about, the path that he took was a lot more straightforward. Mm-hmm. And mine was way more like Family Circus. If you're old like me and you read the Family Circus comics,
yes,
you know, and you see the kind of the dotted line going all over the place and kind of sometimes in circles over and over until you finally get out of that roundabout, right? On the path. And I'm so grateful, although at the time it was uncomfortable or difficult or, you know, out of comfort zone,
right,
to have taken the path that I took. Some of the turns and twists that were on the path were due to personal revelation that probably made zero sense to any observer. I would even say maybe our parents, right? They might not have understood. Well, I don't know why she's doing that, but, And I can say for my own, watching my own children navigate their path through the forest, or, you know, whatever you want to analogize it, is I've taken the mantra of, that's great. Like, as long as they have a relationship with God, like, that's really, because I feel like that's so important, right? Their relationship with God is going to look different than my relationship, because we're different people. The way we engage with people is different.
Yeah.
And so coming to personal revelation and personal confirmation, I thankfully have not necessarily needed a lot of approval or permission, especially as I've like embraced my 40s and my adulthood, mm-hmm. from other people. Like, I'm pretty confident in, yep, this is the right path for me. And I'm glad that that is the good path for you, so I don't necessarily need to have a lot of the confirmation that maybe I would have needed younger, or other people that aren't me might need. Fully trusting in my own personal revelation, understanding now, like, I'm super confident in that it might not look traditional.
Yeah.
But for somebody looking in, it could be incredibly uncomfortable that I'm not taking a traditional path. And maybe be worried for my welfare, or I don't know if I'm coming full circle. I feel like I'm coming around the corner.
Well, I think that, you know, a couple of things that have come full circle for me are the, and I'm thinking about conversations that you and I've had, conversations that I've had with other people on the podcast. Number one, you bring this up almost every time. Our responsibility is to love. It's not to agree with necessarily. I decided to shortcut it. Sean Rapier was on an early episode, and we were talking about kids who take a departure from the quote-unquote covenant path. And he told the story that I absolutely love. I've come back to it several times, where he was pleading with God, what do I do? How do I fix him? And he said, the answer came as a rebuke. He's not your son. He's mine. Just love him. And I think one of the things I loved about Dad's, I was going to say off the wall, but it's not off the wall, is maybe more renegade teachings, is that God would not intentionally set us up to fail. He would not intentionally put somebody in a position, in a family, in a situation where, ha ha ha, I know he's going to fail. I know he's going to take wrong turns or whatever. I think he loves us too much for that. And so, which is why I went to a few weeks ago, that I think he will use everything. In fact, I wasn't going to do this, but I've been reading this book called What Seek Ye? And I don't know what page it's on, so I may not be able to find it. But this is what, this is Michael Wilcox, who I did not get permission to share this. But this is, he's talking about when his wife was close to death. She had cancer. And we've talked about this on the podcast before, about how everything happens for a reason. All that is so hard for people to hear sometimes. And he said, he's having a conversation with his son. And his son said, I'm afraid I will be angry at God. Why does he not heal her? And he asked, this is several weeks after then Elder Nelson had given her a blessing and promised her joy. And so he didn't get into the meaning of that, but he said, we must be careful not to assume that God is behind all events as their prime mover, or say things that might, that may imply it. Not all the events of our lives, good or bad, are God's plan for us, or things he sends to us. He does not send problems. Life happens. God does not need to test us or send trials. And this, I think we talked, was it last week we talked about this? About the idea of life as a test? Just to say yes.
Yeah.
It was a week or two ago, I think. Maybe we weren't recording, but we did talk about it.
We did talk about it. I don't think we were recording, but yeah.
So you had said something about it's hard for you to think about this life as a test. And so he says...
Yeah, we were recording, sorry.
Michael Wilcox says, God does not need to test us or send trials into our lives as though he were the great orchestrator. Life will do a fairly efficient job on its own. And he's wise enough to know when to tweak the system if necessary. I love that. That he is, he tweaks the system when necessary. And sometimes that system might be somebody's going through some, I get my hand in frame there. Somebody's going through some scrupulosity issues. And maybe there's a personal revelation message that comes that says, you're okay. Just now that it's time to end, I'm going to throw one more controversy into this. But I was talking to a wonderful friend. This is years and years ago. He was a branch president, had been for many years. And he was just talking in general about his experience counseling people and some of the things that he had learned. And, you know, you and I grew up in a home, at least I did, grew up in a home where there's right and wrong. And there's not gray. It's black or white.
You were much older than me, but yes. I did also grow up in that house.
Okay, good. But so this branch president said, he was just kind of hypothetically, if somebody had been struggling with pornography and masturbation and had come to him and said, you know, I struggle with pornography, but not masturbation. And my young culturally developed brain was, oh, that's horrible. And he said, I would praise them for doing so well. And I think that I think we give ourselves a much harder time. And I'm not suggesting that sin is okay. I am suggesting that I don't have to worry about deciding whether anybody's on the right track. I can just be there and support them.
Like a weight off your shoulders once you embrace that. What really is that, I think, is so much about what is wonderful about what we believe. We're not necessarily great at remembering that we believe it, but it's not our job, right? Our job is to just love others. I listened to a podcast this morning talking about really what does charity mean, and mm-hmm. and focused on the verse in the Book of Mormon of charity is the pure love of Christ.
Right.
Charity is love.
Yeah.
Right? Focusing on loving unconditionally.
Right.
That means regardless of what they're doing, right? Even if they're making choices that we don't agree with or are different from what we made.
Or what we think they should make.
Yeah. We love them unconditionally. We don't love them as long as they're not doing certain things. We just blanket love them the way God loves us, which is what we want, right? Yeah. It feels so good when we feel of that pure love of Christ, and when we can offer it to others, it feels good for them too.
That's true. I think that's a good place to wrap it up. Now this gets challenging because now I've got two pieces of technology I got to try and get this all to work out pretty well. If you're watching, then
we were successful.
If you aren't watching, then who knows?
Then if you're watching, then we were successful. But if it's not, then
I
had nothing to do with this.
Which I did blow it when we started out because I canceled the recording and had to restart it and had to send Annette a new recording link. So, but we'll talk to you next week. It'll be some other brilliant conversation. Who knows what it'll be about? Something that she sends me another Instagram reel about.
Probably.
Thank you for listening to Chocolate Cake Bites. Please like, share, subscribe, and give us a 5-star rating and review. We'd love to hear your comments and ideas, and you can reach out to me at ken@chocolatecakebites.com. And before you end the day, take a few minutes to consider, who do you know who needs chocolate cake?